Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I want to know if Cincy would ever want to be in the division with the Guardians. I always feel like, I think you know this. This isn't a rivalry until we see them 15 games a year and until like you're like battling for like a divisional crown.
Are you saying they got it wrong for rivalry week?
I'm saying that if you put me in charge of baseball, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Detroit would be your division.
Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Detroit. We already okay.
Yeah, everything's within.
Yeah, didn't you come up with like a whole realignment at one point?
I did. I was very bored that summer.
I was gonna say that must have been a really boring summer.
Which is most summers, just anything. I get a little antsy my pantsy, and I just have to come up with something creative. And yeah, that's what I did. Tell me you don't love it.
Well, I mean, I don't love playing. What was it? Cincinnati, Pittsburgh,
and Detroit.
Detroit. At least Detroit's good right now. I don't like playing Pittsburgh a ton, but I guess we've been playing a lot of bad teams in the AL Central as is anyway.
So I think my idea behind it is just as simple of like you just
sounds like a travel idea is
well,
what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah. And you have rivalries with two of those three. Well, actually, you have some rivalry with Detroit over whether
so you're
it's
adding,
Michigan or.
But you're adding more divisions too then.
You're going from 32 teams, you would go breaking it up into eight different divisions.
Gotcha.
Now, here's the thing. I kind of feel like the AL-NL thing is over anyway. So whatever division, whatever league you play in doesn't matter anymore. Is that a hot take?
Not really. I mean, think about it. When they went from 19 to now 13 games a season against your division opponents, like that was the first stretch into that. I mean, that's what baseball is trying to do. I still think it matters where you play, though, because like in thinking about who we should have been selected with rivalry week, it's all I thought of the Tigers, I thought of the Royals, I thought of the Twins. Like it's all teams within your division.
Yeah, I just don't love the framing of the Reds and Guardians as a rivalry yet. Now, we'll get to that with Chris Welsh coming up in 40 minutes, but as we continue to, I guess you would say, dissect the corpse of the Collapsaliers, as they've been called, at some point it does feel mean when we say that, but I don't care. I'm still very irritated. It's funny, like, every day I feel a little less irritated about how things went. And then I think of the fact that you've been gentlemanly swept to end the playoffs each of the last 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, I might just be not living enough online over the past 48 hours or so, which is healthy for me. But I don't get the outrage that I thought we were going to have.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I'll have like a really heavy social media day, and then I just won't engage to that degree. And I think people are now skipping to how do you fix this thing, and arguing over that.
Well, because we can't argue whether or not the season was a failure or not. Like, I thought what was going to happen is you'd meet up with Boston, and then if you lost to Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals, the debate would be whether or not that was a success. And there'd be a lot of people that'd be like, 64 games, Eastern Conference Finals, linear progression. Yeah, go touch grass if you think that's not a successful season. That's what I thought we were going to get to, but we can't even have that debate. When the players come out and admit what a lack of successful season this was and what a failure this season was and everything that comes with it, what are we supposed to do as far as debating whether or not it was or wasn't? It clearly wasn't.
I also think that's why Kobe Altman should just do that on Monday.
I don't know. I'm curious to find out what he does.
I think if he does the thing that he's done the last couple of years, preaching progress.
Linear progression. That's the words.
I think you're going to get jammed up. I think you're just going to piss everybody off.
The moment he says linear progression, I'm just going to walk off a pier.
Whereas if he says, you know, we set a standard, the player set the standard. We didn't meet our standard, and we've got to find a way to move forward and to grow together. I'm okay with that. Because that's still not admitting that you have flaws in this roster, which Kobe has at no point has ever really addressed, other than this year trading for DeAndre Hunter.
What I give Kobe a lot of credit for is that in years past when he's done these, even if he said things I don't necessarily agree with, he faces the music. Like they last year, I think, was like an hour and 10 or something insane. He doesn't talk to the media often.
That's seven Shadell questions, by the way.
It was an insanely long... 2 years ago, I think, was another hour press conference that he had. And so, like, there should be no...
Six.
Six?
For 2 years ago.
Oh, okay, maybe.
Shadell question.
Yeah, gotcha. There should be every question you could ever imagine asked. And so I hope to get good answers.
So Jake Fisher of Yahoo has had a few different reports on the Cavaliers, one of which that he doesn't expect the Cavs to be all that active this offseason, which flies right in line with the run it back crowd. But I thought the other part of what he said about the Cavs is maybe the more interesting part, which is Cavs owner Dan Gilbert is comfortable absorbing luxury tax costs as long as the Cavs are legitimate title contenders. I think that phrasing makes you wonder, because I think people are going to be like, oh, well, okay, so we don't have to worry about Dan breaking up the band here. Unless Dan put that out there, or unless that's been disseminated, because Dan does not look at what you've done this year specifically as being legit title contenders.
So my mind went to a conversation we started to have yesterday about the idea of do you pay Ty Jerome $80 million to be Ty Jerome? Because a $14 million deal, if you're into the second apron and everything else attached to it, is going to be about $80 million for him. So I think I said something along the lines of, like, Dan's worth $30 billion. He can spend $80 million if he wants to, but it's still really rich for someone like Ty Jerome. And so I like that Dan's thought process is similar to mine. Like, if you think Ty Jerome is the absolute difference between this being a title contender and not, and you gotta make sure that in case there's a Darius Garland injury, this team just doesn't go down, maybe that's worth $80 million to him.
I think it depends what you do with Okoro and Strus. Even after trading Karis, you still have a swath of guys who are 6'4", 6'5", just under 6'6", who are just kind of, it's mix and match, right? This guy can play defense, this guy can shoot the three, but this guy you can't trust running the offense. This guy, the shooting numbers look good, but not so much. He's really good guarding this segment of people, but he can't guard bigger than him. And this guy, this, that. So if you intend to trade either Strus or Okoro to change the configuration of the roster, then I'm probably more inclined to bring back Ty. But there's just enough overlap between Ty and Strus and Merrill, who I know is a free agent, and Okoro, that's like at some point, you know, I don't think it's worth the $80 million if Ty Jerome is going to be... could potentially be out of a rotation if he struggles throughout the first part of the season.
Right, but what's nice about this is that Dan didn't get frustrated over what happened, and Dan is basically through this report saying, if they deem this to be the best team that they can possibly put together and it cost me $80 million for Ty Jerome, then I guess it cost me $80 million for Ty Jerome. Like it's a really good look for an ownership.
I think that's if you think him saying the Cavs are currently legit title contenders.
So I'm playing off the idea that he believes that.
But what do we have?
Maybe it's just a wrong idea on my part. I don't know. I'm playing off that idea that he thinks that they are because they were the one seed and you won 64 games. Well, we don't talk to Dan. We don't know what Dan's thought process is. When you enter the postseason with all those aspirations, it's fair to reset it for the upcoming year. But I would imagine if you keep the core four intact, they'll be approaching this upcoming season like they are, in fact, contenders.
I think that's what this offseason's about. I think if they're more motivated to get below the second apron, that tells you he does not believe this is a title contender.
Yeah.
And there are trades that if you make them, you're going to look at that and go, yeah, you didn't get better there, and this wasn't about we want to get better with Donovan. No, we just wanted to shed some salary. And that could be Jarrett, that could be Strus, that could be Isaac, that could be Darius. Anybody but Evan or Donovan you'll see which way they go. Now, if you make any one or more of those parts into something better or that just fits the core better, and you're spending about the same amount of money, I think that'll be confirmation he does think they're legit contenders. Like, I think how much they spend and how motivated they are to spend one way or another, I think will tell you what Dan really believes about this. And I hope he believes in it. Because I really don't think they're that far. Like, even the idea of trading Darius, as frightening as that is, and we're starting to play with mercury here when you start trying to give up really great players and turn them into another great player or two really good players.
It becomes tough.
It's easy. It's much easier to get worse from here than it is to get better. But I'd love to see belief from Dan. I want to see something from Dan that shows me that he believes this thing. Because I don't...
More than just a $500,000 Cavalanche machine?
Oh, man, that hurts so bad.
That he got to use once?
Do you think he'd give it to me?
The Cavalanche machine?
Yeah.
No.
Is he going to resell it? What is he going to get for that $350?
He's keeping that ready for next year.
For next year? Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if maybe Lima could bury it for like a... Maybe if Lima wants to go throw a party, like fake snow. I don't know. I was just thinking of something that somebody around town could use it for.
Someone's going skiing.
Yeah.
With all that fake snow.
I got to say... Man, I still can't get over that fake snow machine.
People are losing their minds over it. It's like, I spent $500,000 over, you get to use it once. It's like, guys, $500,000 to someone worth $35 billion is a dollar to me and you.
I think it's more...
It'll be fine.
I think if you have a problem with that, of Dan Gilbert spending $500,000 on a fake snow machine, I think you just want to be pissed about something.
I like the idea that the man is worth so much money and just wants to win so badly that he'll spend money on the Cavalanche machine, and if he has to spend $80 million on Ty Jerome because he thinks it'll make you 1% better, that he's willing to do it. Like, I love that that's the guy. And he's getting up there in age, he's got health problems, all sorts of other things. We've seen a lot of owners, once they get to that spot, spend like a drunken sailor, but he's always been this way. Always been such a huge advantage.
And what's different now is he spends and there's stability. I think that's really key. Like I think his hand is not is I don't want to say as obvious, but it's not as dramatic when he swoops in and out of decision making. Now, this does lead to the question: if Dan Gilbert is comfortable absorbing luxury tax costs as long as the Cavs are legit title contenders, I know this was the expectation 3 years ago when we traded for Donovan. Are you still expecting the Cavs? Are you still expecting a Cavs championship in the next 2 to 3 years?
I'm not expecting anything because when you enter this season, you're minus 500 to go ahead and win your series against the Pacers, and you lose in five games, don't win a single home game against Indiana. Like, until proven otherwise, how do I possibly have those expectations?
To me, it was game four. I know for a lot of people, it was game two where they felt like they lost that series. Where the Cavs lost me believing they could win a championship was game four. And I'm not saying it's impossible, and I'm not saying that I won't buy into the hype again next year if they go off on another torrid 62, 63, 64 win, you know, get the number one seed again. But... I wish it was so much easier if we could just chalk this up to injury. It's not. No. This is about how your roster is built, and it's about individuals in that locker room that you might have to subtract, guys that we love, that you might be better off subtracting, and that's a really dangerous path forward. And, oh, by the way, there's no guarantee that even if you stay the course, which might be the safest of all the routes, there's no guarantee that's going to even lead to a championship. So, like, actually, if you traded Darius for somebody, or if you traded Jared for somebody that fits this thing better or that has a different style of play, that might make me feel better about their chances to win a championship than just bringing it back.
You're at least shaking it up a little bit. The problem with running it back again is that we'll get to that spot in the postseason. You win a million games. Donovan said at the end of the season, 82-0 doesn't matter to any of these fans anymore, and he's right.
216-474-0092. Are you still expecting a Cavs championship in the next 2 to 3 years? This postseason really did a number on my ability to believe that I think they can get to an Eastern Conference Finals. I think they can look like a contender. I don't know what the runway looks like anymore unless it's absolutely next year. And you don't have to want to trade Darius, but I think we do have to look at the possibilities. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds! Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The Fan. Lead coming up at 4 because Scott McLuhan, who earlier in the show you heard from the Pac-Man Jones show, say he thinks Shador is going to be the best quarterback from this draft. He's now joining us at 5 today. So excited to kind of talk through his thoughts on Shador Sanders and why he thinks Shador is going to be the best quarterback from this draft.
Yeah, about time we get some Shador propaganda on this show.
You know what's funny is there is a host of people who anytime they tweet at me are like, oh, your boy Shador. And I'm like, you know that's Peterlin, right? Like I'm Switzerland on Shador.
It's also like the one of the videos we just posted that obviously is on our 92.3 The Fan. The guy down below was like, ah, Nick finally admitting this team is going to tank. And it's like, you don't use the word tank, obviously, yeah. but that's been your plan for months.
Yeah, I believe I've said, I thought they were going to be a hyper-competitive 3-win team.
I mean, in fact, well, that was the part that we kind of, you know, how are you a competitive 3-win team? But that's neither here nor there. In fact, after the draft, they went so far into exactly what you've been saying for the previous 3-4 months. I told you it might be alarming to you that you are so lockstep and in the same brain trust as that brain trust over there.
I did get a CT scan since the draft.
Are you actually a thought partner?
Or what if I am? What if secretly I am a thought partner? I mean,
then you're not doing enough good with it.
Ivy Leaguers, right? BG, Harvard,
yeah,
Penn. Although we don't really consider
you guys
Penn
always.
To be Harvard.
You guys always look down at Penn.
Yeah, where I was like, you know, Bowling Green and Harvard guys get together like these morons. they can barely talk. Now, as we got Scott McLuhan coming up, we were just having the conversation about the Cavs and whether you still expect the Cavs to win a championship in the next 2 to 3 years. And part of the difficult conversation that the Cavs have to have is, okay, I think a lot of Cavs fans think Jared is the obvious odd man out. Well, Darius can't stay healthy, and that is a big, big issue that you've had now the last 3 years. So I actually, one of our listeners here, Nick, put this together, and because I was talking about a hypothetical Zion for Darius trade. And granted, it works out actually perfectly for the Cavs because Darius gets a small raise next year and then a big raise in the final of the next 3 years. Zion is just at the same rate. He's at 39, 39, 39. Now, I don't know if I would do it. I really don't. But when you get to turning a player with injury problems and who doesn't fit maybe the rest of the roster, Zion Williamson would be a very interesting guy to pair next to Evan Mobley in what is still a pretty big backcourt, and he's still an incredibly explosive player. There are so many question marks there.
There's a lot. There's a lot there.
But I just think the point is, like, if you're going to trade Darius, this is one of the kind of deals you would consider.
You see, and I even think that is almost too big a fish.
Like,
the whole everything. I think that's almost, like, there was a name I keyed in on, and I know he's been floated around in the past 24 hours or so with Darius, and I'm like, this is more the speed that I feel like Cavs fans should be talking.
So I think if you were to do, just to put a button on the Zion thing, I think if you were to do it, you'd be banking on the culture. There's from anything anyone's heard.
I like Zion. I've always liked Zion. Now, obviously, this means you trade Jared Allen too, right?
No. You could trade Darius. Well, okay, yes.
Different trade.
Yes, you would then turn around and maybe try and find a two to then go with for Jared's contract.
I mean, and again, some of the same problems exist for Darius that exist for Zion in that they both get injured a lot, and so you'd have a lot of questions about how many games you'd actually get, and so then it really there'd be a stretch there where you'd probably have to rely on a lot of Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell, and that just be what you have.
Well,
of them on the court would be pretty awesome.
It's tough for me to say. Listen, I think it's a huge loss shooting going from Darius to Zion. That's just clear. There's clearly, does the guy love basketball, which I think is a totally fair conversation. Devil's advocate, he did play 70 games 2 years ago, and there's a lot happening around Zion in New Orleans that I don't think would be happening here. He walked into a locker room that was rebuilding. He'd be walking into a locker room with a pre-existing culture in Donovan Mitchell. That is my devil's advocate for the Zion thing. But would you like the list that our listener Nick came up with of Garland trades in the second apron that actually work money-wise?
Okay, yeah, let's hear it.
All right, Orlando, Franz Wagner.
That's the one, actually, that we heard yesterday from Joe Varden, right? Mm-hmm. I think it was Joe that told us that. Might have been Jared Greenberg. I'm not sure now at this point.
I think it was Joe.
So Wagner offers up some of the same similarities. So obviously, his length is there. He's got toughness. We know a lot about him. But you're changing the landscape of your team in a massive way.
He can shot create.
Yeah.
But he's not a great three-point shooter.
No.
So you're still losing. I really like. I think the trick with the subtracting Darius is you still need enough 3-point shooting, and Darius is arguably your best 3-point shooter. Not Ty, not Struess, not Sam Merrill. It is Darius, and then I mean even Donovan. Like he's a much improved 3-point shooter. He doesn't have the touch that Darius does. Franz would take your spacing back a minute, even though he's 6'8", 6'9", 6'10".
Yeah, he's 6'10". Like you never have to worry about length or anything like that. He can score a ton. I like him a lot. I don't know that Orlando does this deal though.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And in fairness, I mean, at some point Orlando needs to and get off the pot on that. But I think you're right. They might not. The Boston one, the Jrue Holiday thing, just missed me on it.
Okay,
I think it's legitimately dumb. And I understand, like, when Lima's point is...
I like how you phrase that.
Well, no.
Legitimately dumb.
No. But Lima's point is well-served, that you would, like, if you had Jrue Holiday on this team specifically this year, you would have had more success in the postseason than with Darius. At the same point, trading a 26-year-old point guard with superstar-level creation ability, shooting, scoring, three-level score, even with all the other stuff with Darius, health and defense... You don't trade that for 35-year-old combo guards who aren't half the creator. He's a good three-point shooter. I still don't think he's as good of a three-point shooter as Darius is either, even for that defense. So I would say no there. Chicago, Patrick Williams, Kobe White, miss me all the way with that.
You watched White in college, didn't you?
Yeah, I like Kobe a lot.
Because you were right in that area.
I think we're talking Colin Sexton. And this is a little unfair.
Same hairstyle? Is that what you're going off of?
No, I was going, I think he's going to get a lot of stats on a really great team.
That was guys have the same hairstyle, and so they do the same thing. Here we go.
I think he is a really great stats on bad or mid teams. I think on like a championship caliber team, I think he's like your fourth option.
And I think that's the worry that a lot of Bulls fans have in that discussion as
well. All right, Utah, Colin Sexton, Walker Kessler, and Keontae George.
A Sexton for Darius Garland trade.
Sexland?
Sexland in the trade would make everyone That'd be really funny. The interactions attached to that would be really funny.
I want to do another bad one. Jordan Poole and Sadiq Bey.
Okay, so Jordan Poole was the one I wanted to bring to the table. Sadiq Bey, kick rocks. Here's why I want
to have to be part of it for the salary.
I want to advocate for Jordan Poole for a second, and I'm gonna do the thing that
is it like what I did with Zion, the devil's advocate?
No, because Zion, people are like, oh, there's so much upside with Zion. If you get him right, then he's obviously a better player than Darius Garland. Like, there's so much name association with Zion to being a great basketball player, where Jordan Poole doesn't have that. But if you wanted me to sell you on Jordan Poole for a second, what's his nickname, Nick?
Jordan?
The Microwave. Why is he called the Microwave? He's called the Microwave because he heats up very quickly, and then that sudden burst is what he does. What does that remind you of a little bit? The Cavalanche. His whole career has been built on the exact thing that a Cavalanche is. But he's 6'4". He did bring the ball up in Washington. He's a good player. Like, there's no, he's won a title. He's been an actual important part of a team that won a title. Like, there's a lot of things that Jordan Poole has that he can offer up that would fit really nicely with the Cavs.
I hate it.
Yeah, it was bad.
No. You guys hate the name Jordan Poole.
No. He's not a good enough 3-point shooter. He's too streaky.
This is the territory that you're going to have to live in now.
He's big box store, so he's like a Sam's Club version of Kelly Oubre.
That was just hurtful.
And accurate.
That was hurtful.
Without the length, because Kelly's like 6'7".
Nick nailed it. Nick, fantastic job. No, listen, just because Mac hasn't seen enough Jordan Poole, so he just hates Jordan Poole. This is the problem in this discussion.
You've watched a lot of Jordan Poole.
I don't need to see any more Jordan Poole.
This is the problem. He averaged 20 a game. He's averaged 20 a game for 4 or 5 years now. He's won a title. He's accomplished things.
He's won a title.
Dude Johnson was great on the 2015 Browns.
He averaged 18 a game in that playoffs. Okay, what are you talking about?
But did he win an important part of winning that title? Did he win it or did Steph Curry win it?
What are we talking about? Darius is the third or the fourth best player on this Cavs team?
Did he win the title?
Would it be Evan's title?
Or was it Clay Thompson?
Would it be Donovan's title or would it be Evan's title?
I didn't know who else won that.
We're not in the you're the face of the team franchise conversation. We are in the third, fourth option. And on that 22 title team, he was the third, fourth option. Averaged 18 a game in that postseason. 6'4", so he's got size as well. I don't hate it. But, like, this is the category that Cavs fans need to be living in. If you go off Darius, forget your Zion pipe dream. That's never going to happen. You're never going to get a player of Zion's caliber in exchange for Darius Garland. You got to start thinking more like this, where it's not that he's better than Darius. He's not better than Darius.
And not
he's
even close to as good as Darius.
He's slightly worse. He's slightly worse than Darius. And the point is, you would do this to shake it up a little bit and also give yourself some size within the guards.
All right. Tyler Hero, Jaime Jaquez. I like this one better than Jordan Poole. And then here's one that I think actually bears real discussion if they end up having to trade Ja Morant and Ja goes to Miami. And then they want to replace Ja with Darius. It'd be Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane, to me, better 3-point shooter, better defender. He is bigger. He's a really nice size 2 guard. I think that would protect Donovan a little bit more. I think he might be one of the few shooters that's like right on the par with Darius, and he's a really good scorer. So I think he's just a more well-rounded player.
Desmond Bane.
Wait.
I just want to make sure we're all in the same category. We're in the same.
I just said the name back.
Yeah, okay.
And then you had that connotation for Desmond Bane.
I had like 9 reasons for Jordan Poole. Well, Desmond Bane. There was nothing bad with Desmond Bane. But these are the reactions that we deserve, okay? If we're talking, what I like about that is that if we're talking about Darius Garland, this is at least welcome to reality.
If you try and put Desmond Bane in the same category with Jordan Poole, I don't know we can be friends anymore. That's not true. That was a harsh thing to say. We're still friends. I love you forever. I will always love you, just like Whitney Houston and Dolly Parton. Had to remember the other one. My point is,
yeah,
bad.
Not bad.
Boo.
Not bad.
Don't love it. 216-474-0092. You heard all those trades. If they were to consider moving Darius, Franz Wagner, he's German, Desmond Bane, Zion Williamson, Jrue Holiday, Patrick Williamson, Kobe White, Tyler Hero, Jaime Jaquez, Colin Sexton, Walker Kessler, Keontae George, is a lot of big-ass names, Jordan Poole, and Sadiq Bey, which trade would enrage you the least and make the Cavs the best? Chris Welsh, Reds analyst, joins us in 5 minutes. We'll talk Tito's first year in Cincy in 5 minutes on 90.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start?
Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
2-3 the fan. But... Cavs. The Guardians in red start a 3-game set down yonder in Cincinnati in earlier first pitch tonight because of weather. Mm. And to talk about Terry Francona's first season in Cincinnati. He abandoned us, but I'm not mad. We go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome on Chris Welsh, the Reds color analyst. Chris, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, guys. It's good to be with you.
Well, it's good to have you here. As obviously, we have some interest having Tito been our manager the previous decade before. How's the Tito era in Cincinnati starting off?
Well, you know, I was excited as anybody when they named Tito the manager because Tito and I were teammates when we played together in Montreal, and I've known him forever, and I've always kind of envied those that got to play for him in Cleveland and Boston and other places like Philadelphia. But we love him here. I mean, they excited the whole crowd, you know, that follow the Reds. Reds country's all excited and so on. And they're waiting for it to translate into wins right now. But, I mean, he's completely different kind of manager than the Reds have had, you know, 90% of the time. I've been doing this for 34 years now. So I've seen a lot of different managers come through here. And Tito is by far the most fun guy to be around and the best guy as far as interpersonal relationships that I've seen yet.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting, so I've not checked in a lot with Reds baseball to see how Tito's doing, but like after the first weekend of games, there was a whole bunch of people just criticizing Tito and some of the bullpen mismanagement and everything that happened there. And then you check in like last week, it was like Tito apologizes to the team and all the players thought that was very cool and very different, but it was also after mistakes as well. And so maybe I'm just highlighted some of the mistakes that Tito is having here. What is the perception around Reds fans? Are they just excited that he's here? Has he been able to, I don't know, manage the ups and the downs?
Well, they're like his resume. I mean, they're waiting for a winner here in Cincinnati. I mean, the either the Guardians or the Indians, they've been to the postseason, you know, a whole bunch in the last 15 years. And the Reds have been, it's been a really dry run. So they want results. And I think a lot of people obviously think that automatically you sign a new manager and all of a sudden your team gets, you know, 15 games better. We all know that doesn't happen. But Tito's a refreshing guy to be around. I think he's got a young ball club here that needs to learn the Tito style of play, which is a little bit more fundamental, a little bit more old-fashioned baseball. And I think when they get that going, they're going to have a pretty good second half.
Chris, you mentioned being a teammate with Terry Francona in your playing days. I'm curious, now that you've been around him for a while with him as a manager, are there more similarities with Tito the manager as with Tito the player, or are there more differences?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's similarities. I mean, he was always a guy that was positive. He realized he didn't have, even though he was a top round draft pick, he wasn't the most talented guy out there. He wasn't the fastest, best arm, or the most powerful hitter. But he's a guy that knew the game. He was smart. He came from the baseball family. Obviously, his dad played for, 15 years. So he knew what was going on. And he would always be willing to talk the game and trying to help people, even if they were, you know, more senior players. He would help them, you know, understand situations and so on. So he had a feeling that Tito was going to be in the game for a long time one way or another. I wasn't sure how. I had no idea that he would have the terrific resume that he does as a manager. But, yeah, you knew he was going to be in the game. And it's very similar. I mean, you don't change your personality. The one thing that he does that I really respect is that he doesn't get mad at players. He is transparent and honest with the players and with the media. So when we meet with him as media, he tells you the truth. And a lot of managers don't want to do that. They hold back the truth like it's some kind of a secret state, you know, special secret that you can't let this out. When he realizes if you just play good baseball and if you're honest with your players and if you can motivate them to be better than other guys can, then you're going to win a lot of ball games.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely calls it out as he sees it, and he's, you're right. We experience that firsthand here, where you have so many honest moments with him. It's like, oh, I didn't know a manager would just be that frank and that honest about things.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, a lot of times it floors him. But it also takes some players aside and say, hey, you know, why did you steal that base when we're, attempt to steal that base when we're five runs down? You know, it doesn't make any sense. So I think what he's trying to do is undo some of the things that have kind of gotten the Reds off the rails over the last few years and do the things that get them back on the rails. And it takes like recoaching some of these young players as well.
Chris, looking to where the Reds are, I'm just curious, in Cincinnati, how much of a, I know this is supposed to be rivalry week here, rivalry weekend, how big of a rivalry do you think we have now that this series has been played over the last, decade plus between the Reds and the Guardians?
I don't really know if it's a special rivalry. I know the players don't think like that, okay? You know, we've got the Ohio Cup, and there actually is an Ohio Cup, believe it or not, that it gets awarded to one team or the other. I think a few years ago, it was kind of funny, it was the COVID year, I think, when we knew that the Reds were not going to play Cleveland, and the Reds won the one game in spring training that was designated as the Ohio Cup, right? So they went to the Cleveland team and said, hey, well, where's the Ohio Cup? And they're like, well, we don't know. I think it's packed away somewhere. So, I mean, it's kind of a fictitious thing. It's more for fans than anything else. But every game you win or lose in the major leagues during regular season is important. And that's the one thing Tito really emphasizes. He comes to the ballpark, and it's about win today. And I love that attitude.
I love what the Reds are building. I love L.A. De La Cruz, but more importantly, I do like Tito, and I like your front office. I think things are just a little bit different than what they were a few years ago. And it does feel, Chris, like you guys are heading in the right direction.
Well, you know, the difference is between the Reds and the Guardians right now is Jose Ramirez. Every team that has a small payroll like the Reds and the Guardians do, they need that superstar who is really a superstar, and they need to have that guy have a really great year. Now, the Reds have Eddie De La Cruz, who's got all the tools to be a superstar, but he's nowhere near yet, and he may not ever be, the player that Jose Ramirez is. So, I mean, if you take Ramirez away from Cleveland the last 10 years, you know, you don't make the playoffs as many times. You don't have as good a team. And Tito will be the first one to tell you that. So we're hoping that our young players like Eddie De La Cruz mature and get better into the kind of player that Ramirez has, because we look in the other dugout and say, man, we wish we had that guy.
Chris, to get back to the rivalry thing, when baseball expands here in the near future to add two more teams to get to 32, I'm actually hoping that the Reds and Guardians end up in the same division. mostly just because of travel implications. Like, it's tough for Guardians fans to have a rivalry with Kansas City when Kansas City is as far a drive away, or Minnesota, as far travel as that is, whereas Cincinnati's drivable, Pittsburgh's drivable, and Detroit's drivable. I know you're a guy that played the game. You've been around the game a long time. Is that too modern for you, or would you embrace that kind of division as well, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cincy, and Detroit?
I can't believe you're saying that, because, you know, we were just talking about that with Tom Hamilton just a few minutes ago in the booth about realignment and adding teams and so on. And one of the suggestions that have come up over the years was, you make this division and it will also include these small market teams, you know, like Minnesota and like, you know, everybody in the American Central except the White Sox, of course, and everybody in the National Central except the Cubs. So you get the small markets all together where you feel like you can compete when you don't have a top 10 payroll. And I think that's something that would also give the fans some excitement.
Do you feel like the Reds will spend one day? I have a hard time thinking. I mean, Terry came over, and I think some of the problems Terry had here was that they wouldn't open up the pocketbook as much. I assume the next job he would take, if he were to ever get back into baseball, and clearly he got back into baseball, would be with the idea that he'd go to a market that, when they started to be competitive, would open up the books a little bit more.
Well, they open up the books for him, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But we don't know what that number is, but I'm sure that, you know, to get him out of retirement, they had to entice him somehow, right? I think what happens even this year, I think the Reds, if they've got this window, right, of young players that they think that they're going to be able to be really good. So in the next couple of years, you know, before players like Ellie De La Cruz become too expensive for you, you have this window of opportunity. And I do think that this year, for instance, if they are close, they'll make some deals at the deadline to try to get them over the hump and back into the playoffs, because this city needs a winning team. I mean, the Bengals have been kind of underperforming the last couple of years, and the Reds, everybody looks to, and you don't want to be out of the race when come August.
Chris, great stuff, man. Enjoy the series here. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your expertise.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Hope to talk to you again soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.